From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, along with other national legislators in the West, are at a distinct disadvantage when it comes to travel than their counterparts in the East. What might take an hour or two for many senators to fly back home from D.C., Wyden and his West Coast colleagues often quadruple their flight times. And because Wyden is the kind of legislator who wants and needs to visit as many constituents as possible, his windshield time is also immense. Today on the show, we check in with Oregon senior senator from the road and talk about a host of issues, from global challenges like the Iran war, to state issues like cuts to wildfire fighting resources, to important local issues like the recent action with Peace Health. Our wide-ranging conversation with the senator is next on Oregon on the Record. About once a quarter, we check in with Senator Ron Wyden about issues both global and local. He joins me now to talk about so much that's going on in our world and right down the street. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Well, thanks for having me back. We're headed to Lincoln County, and, you know, here's the thing, Michael. We haven't really talked about this, but, you know, the fact is we're basically almost 3,000 miles to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, Southwestern Oregon folks sometimes feel that D.C. might as well be Mars for all the connection it has with them. In other words, they read various things on their phones and they see these stories and the like, and then they go, well, what's this got to do with me? And what I try to do is say, look, you know, we're not just going to talk about the fluff and nonsense back in Washington, D.C. and who's gossiping about who. We're going to talk about things that matter to you, like health care costs and energy bills and tariffs, you know, these taxes that are clobbering small businesses in Southwestern Oregon. That's what I want to do, is just get out and listen to people talk to me about what's important to them.
Well, and certainly what's important, as you just teed up, is inflation is high. Your trip out to where you're going is costing more simply because of gas prices. Talk about that from what your vantage point as a U.S. senator, but also as an Oregonian, that, you know, we're all living with higher prices today than a year ago.
People always ask me, so Ron, what are people talking about at the town hall, you know, meetings? And I said, right now, the big subject is the one where the second word is cost.
Mm-hmm.
It might be medical cost, it might be energy cost, it might be housing cost. But, you know, a lot of people feel like they're just getting hit by a wrecking ball in terms of these expenses. And, you know, what we try to do is kind of bring it home directly to a typical Oregon family. And, you know, gas prices, you know, consistently people, you know, quoting $6, some, you know, number where they feel like they're basically getting mugged when they go to the gas station.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and also we're heading into summer where, of course, traditionally gas prices get higher. I mean, from your vantage point, you know, is there any relief in sight, especially with regard to, I guess, whatever happens in the Middle East right now?
Well, the whole thing, and, you know, most of the people, you know, listening to this didn't know much about the Strait of Hormuz, you know, 6 months ago.
Sure.
You know, the reality is what Trump needs to do now is pull together a group of the allies, the people who have been working together on this issue now for some time, but not closing this, you know, deal, and find something to get it reopened. The reality is if you wait much longer, even now, you're not going to be able to get it reopened and suddenly prices, you know, come back to earth in 15 minutes. You got to get this done. And the only way you're going to do it, in my view, is to pull together the allies and say, we all have a mutual interest in this. Let's close this deal and something that all sides can live with.
You know, Senator, in addition to, as I talked about, going into summer, of course, for Oregonians, that's a great time, but it's also a fearful time because of wildfires. And our governor, someone I know you know very well, Governor Kotek, had a press conference the other day warning about the fact that this is going to be a very, very bad fire season. And you've been sounding the alarm on what the federal government is and isn't doing. Talk about your concerns specifically around what staffing levels and other types of strategies that might not be available because of cuts.
Well, what I'm worried about is the deep sea scene. And understand, this isn't Oregon. On the Oregon side, you know, we've got a lot of people on firefighting that are working hard. They've integrated their operations. But in Washington, D.C., you know, Trump just tries to pretend it's not a serious, problem. And, you know, he's plotting all these reorganization things and the like. And instead of spending your time on that, what he ought to be doing is going in there and thinning out these overstocked, fires, materials, and protect the community. It's a serious situation, and he's not treating it seriously.
Is there something that can be done to try and shake loose more resources towards that effort?
That's exactly what we're trying to do. You know, I'm a senior member of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, Senator Merkley, on the Appropriations Committee. The reason we had the press conference yesterday was to say, look, our state folks are doing a lot of good work, but not the federal government. And we've got to make sure that the connection here is that we have to have both sides cooperating, getting the dollars out there, particularly for workers, for dealing with the prescribed fires, so that you get in there and protect the community before things get out of hand. I'm worried about lightning strikes. I'm worried about El Nino. I'm here worried about what we heard yesterday.
Proposed legislation that might make illegal or curtail voting by mail. You know, talk about the president's sort of signature voting act that he's trying to get implemented before the midterms, and talk about what it could mean to something that Oregonians love, voting by mail.
Well, what Donald Trump doesn't want Oregonians to know is he's been hostile to vote by mail for a long time. You know, we remember when Putin told him that he ought to get rid of vote by mail, and everybody thought it was a joke, but he actually talked about it. And the reality is there's a big dose of hypocrisy here, because Donald Trump here recently, after talking all week about how horrible vote by mail is, and I'm the nation's first, you know, United States senator elected by mail, I'm a Democrat, Gordon Smith, a Republican, was the second. What did Donald Trump do after he had spent the week trashing vote by mail? He went out and he voted by mail. And so we're just trying to get the stories out about why it's safe and effective.
Yeah, and obviously you've proven again and again, or you've talked about, that it is safe and effective. What do you think are the prospects of what he's trying to do?
Well, he doesn't have the votes right now on the floor of the Senate for the SAVE Act. He just doesn't have the votes. Republicans don't feel comfortable with it. And people have gotten accustomed now to voting by mail.
You've been a sharp critic of the Trump administrative tariffs. And of course, you know, we've seen action from the Supreme Court recently. Why don't you talk about sort of the words that you've spoken on the floor, but also actions you've taken around, you know, tariff refunds, especially after the SCOTUS decision?
Well, the Senate voted for my legislation to get rid of Trump's global tariffs, and the Supreme Court also did the same. Now it looks like, after months of foot dragging, and that's the only way to describe it, the Trump people have just played stall ball trying to figure out how to delay getting tariff refunds. It looks like tariff refunds are going to start in a few days. I'll be watching it very carefully, because, you know, Trump has consistently said, oh, I'm going to refund you the tariff money, and then he goes back and tries to downplay it. In fact, one of his recent comments was, well, people are going to be able to get a refund. I'm going to be watching carefully to see if they actually want them or something like that. He did everything to play a Godfather act about not going to get the refund. So he's been doing everything he can to slow it up, and we keep pushing to get it out, and I think it's finally going to start.
I want to turn to the war in Iran. One of the things that I think people are very frustrated by is, one day it seems like, oh, perhaps there's a resolution afoot. Then the next day it seems like they're far apart again. I wanted to, you know, both as a senator, but also just as an astute observer of the political scene, what do you think this back and forth from the Trump administration on peace or war is doing to our own psyche, but also just the standing of America on the global stage?
Well, I think people have come to see that Trump is not a serious person when it comes to the specifics of how you'd handle something. I mean, we see the headlines of, you know, newspapers or what you read, you know, every time saying, on one hand, there's military strikes taking place, and then on the other hand, Donald Trump is saying everything's over and we've won. So what the country, I think, is hungry for, and we'll see if Trump is capable of it, is some straight talk and some specifics about how he's going to deal with the straits, what he's going to do to pull together the allies and build a coalition that that is the lasting one in terms of nuclear materials and protecting us from them. So I think that this is a chance to see if he can actually be serious and straightforward, or if he can just play games where sometimes he feels like saying the war is over and sometimes he says I'm starting the bombs again.
Are you concerned about that coalition, about our allies, especially in Europe, and what this kind of posture has done to some of those relationships? And certainly the King of England was recently addressed Congress and in some ways talked about the need for America to be stronger and more resilient. Talk a little bit about that.
I'm very concerned about the problems with alliances. I mean, look at what we're dealing with in fire. You think the Canadians are going to want to help us in a difficult fire season? They're furious with the country, and they're furious really at Donald Trump because Donald Trump has mocked them so consistently. No American president, not a Democrat or a Republican, has done something like that, and it's taken a toll, you bet. The alliances are frayed, and it can be detrimental to our interests.
Part of dealing with foreign governments also comes about with the FISA Act, because you've recently made comments about reforms. First of all, remind folks what the FISA Act is and reforms you'd like to see happen.
Yeah, this is a pivotal issue for Oregon. FISA stands for the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and it is because we need to have surveillance over threats from overseas. That's why it's called the Foreign Intelligence Act. Today, though, with all this technology, you have more and more law-abiding Americans swept up in searches when they've done nothing wrong and then there's no warrant. And I'm a Ben Franklin guy. Ben Franklin said anybody who gives up their liberty to have security really doesn't deserve either. And so what I've concentrated on is trying to help build an approach in terms of a solution to this kind of gridlock, is to say that mutually they're not exclusive. We can have security and we can have liberty. They both can coexist.
Okay. One thing that happens cross borders that is a scourge on American streets, on Oregon streets, is fentanyl. And I know that you've recently talked about complaining about the feds cutting a funding program specifically towards fentanyl and
harm reduction.
Exactly. Talk about that.
Well, harm reduction is what it sounds like. I mean, we need to win the fight against fentanyl. We need to use all the tools. You know, that means more preventive stuff, which is what Trump is hostile to. But we also need law enforcement, and we need to look to the future. So tomorrow I'm going to be having a press conference on the development of synthetic opioids. They're called nitazenes, and they're many times more powerful than fentanyl. So when I talk about law enforcement, you talk with law enforcement around the state, they tell me, Ron, help us get out in front of it. We're going to talk about that tomorrow in the Valley.
Okay. Oftentimes, drug interdiction is a healthcare issue, and you've been very vocal on what's happened in our community here, Eugene Springfield, about Peace Health. Talk about what you've been talking about, and then, of course, now it seems like they're doing a 180 and utilizing the local emergency physicians. Talk about that issue.
Well, it looks like we won a round, and congratulations to Congresswoman Hoyle and my colleague, Senator Merkley, and I was happy to be part of it as the ranking Democrat in the Finance Committee, which has authority over health care. We've gotten a settlement, and look, that's what you need. You need to recognize that neighbors have to work together, work these kinds of details out. Healthcare is not for the faint-hearted. We're spending $5 trillion a year now on healthcare, but we're really glad that we got the agreement here in the last couple of days.
Yeah. Talk about healthcare costs in general. It's obviously, I think NPR did a poll recently.
If you divide up what we're spending, the $5 trillion, into 330 million Americans, which is our number, I mean, you could send every family of four an enormous check and say, here, go buy your health care. And almost half of health care spending goes to middlemen, you know, people who are just adding costs and more costs to the system and really don't provide anything in value. You have vertical integration, which means that you don't have the competition that's needed. And, you know, what I'm working on now is trying to blow the whistle on some of the additional rip-offs. I mean, Donald Trump, for example, said earlier this week that he was going to save $600 billion in terms of medical costs, pharmaceutical costs with his Trump RX. Well, we said, give us the details of these plans. You want us to enact this into legislation. Give us the details of what you're doing, and he won't do it. So he's just trying to get people to buy sight unseen these sub-pledges, which, frankly, in the instance of several medicines, don't seem to be producing as effective things as you can get on your neighborhood pharmacy watch.
Yeah. I know a while ago you called for Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy's head, but since we've talked, the president has jettisoned three cabinet members, including a former Oregon representative, Lori Chavez de Remer. I wanted you to talk a little bit about accountability at the cabinet level and what concerns you might have there.
Well, I think what the president has recognized in a number, you know, of areas, it's, you know, policies he's pursued are not popular. You talk about immigration, you know, for example, we're all talking about it constantly. Reality is, Donald Trump said in the campaign of 2024 that he was going to go after drug cartels and murderers and thugs. And what we found is, well, he was, you know, bringing in a priest or somebody who was 17 or 18 years old, and their skin was brown, and he decided that was going to be the person they were going to target. Well, he said that particularly after there was so much disagreement about what happened in Minnesota and the horrors that we saw there. He said, we're going to have to back off a bit. His words, not mine. And I think that's an indication that grassroots pressure makes a difference.
Okay. One thing it seems like he's not backing off on, nor are Republicans, especially after the Supreme Court decision on the Voting Rights Act. Talk about your concerns about this sort of very, very quick gerrymandering actions that are being taken in more red states.
It's pretty clear Donald Trump would be plenty satisfied if he just went back to the days of Jim Crow. And after the progress that's been made in terms of race relations, this is clearly a step backward. Now, we're going to continue to push in terms of trying to have fair apportionment in the states, but it's clear that Trump is worried about the midterms and wants to turn back the clock and make race a big factor rather than justice.
Well, let's talk about the midterms. Certainly Democrats have seemed to be doing pretty well in special elections and whatnot in the run-up to the midterms. What are you seeing?
Well, I think, and we've talked about this a little bit, but let me kind of make it blunt in terms of what I'm talking about these days. The best politics are good policy. You know, that's what people want to hear about. That's what Congresswoman Hoyle and I will be talking about, you know, today being Thursday. And we're going to be in Lincoln County. We're going to be listening. We're going to talk about prescription medicine. We're going to talk about gas prices. We're going to talk about health care costs and all the issues that are important to people or what folks want to hear about. And we'll be outlining the fact that in areas where Donald Trump is doing something that is not in the country's interest, we have ideas to do something differently that will actually help people at their kitchen table.
Okay. Last two questions for you. Speaking specifically about those town halls, you talked about this earlier, but I want to even dial down further about the mood of people that you talk to both in Oregon and in Washington, and sort of maybe pull that lens out writ large in terms of what do you think the mood is in the country right now?
The country is concerned because, you know, Donald Trump comes at you so quickly without giving any specific details about how we're going to tackle these big issues. We talked about the war in Iran, where sometimes in the same headline, it says, Donald Trump says we've beaten them. We don't need to do anything else. And then you read it in the column right next to it, all about the ongoing fighting and the bombs and the like. people would really like some clear direction and some understanding at a time when they're worried about the economy and when, you know, their loved ones may be in harm's way because of the Iran war. They would like, you know, less kind of bombast and oratory and more specifics about how something that's going on in the Trump administration would actually benefit them.
Okay. Let's finish up with maybe some good news. This is the inaugural season for something you've campaigned for, been championing, Oregon's newest professional sports franchise, the WNBA Fire. Talk about just sort of your excitement about a brand new team in town.
Well, to use the parlance of the day, we are totally fired up for the team. I'll be there, and the reality is, you know, back when I put together the visit of the commissioner of the WNBA, Kathy Engelberg, back in winter of 2023, you know, we got together the Blazers and the Thorns and the Ducks and the Beavers and had this incredible meeting where the commissioner, I could tell, was looking at a scene that she'd never seen before. And we walked out and I said, Commissioner Engelberg, what'd you think about the whole thing? He said, well, you know, and I said, have you ever seen anything quite this cool? Have you ever seen anything like this, this grassroots, you know, juggernaut? She looked up and smiled and said, I have. And I said to myself, at that moment, we are going to get the team. That team is not going back east where there's not the enthusiasm and the interest that we have. And it's been a labor of love to get this team here, and it's going to be exciting on the weekend.
All right. Well, as always, enjoy spending time with you. Make sure you save your voice for the town hall tonight. Senator Ron Wyden, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for spending
Talk
time.
Talk to you with soon.
Us. Take care.
Be back with you. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Monday on the show, we talked to the president of Oregon State University about a huge influx of money they're going to put towards paying for athletic programs, paying coaches, and in this new era of name, image, likeness, paying student athletes. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.